Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Hey, we are going to be reading this morning out of the book of Revelation. That is right. If you've never been in the book of Revelation, that's the book right at the end. That's the book that many people do not want to even go and read about because it's got all kinds of stuff happening in there. But we are going to spend a little bit of time in there today because we are in the Mission Week, Pneuma Missions. 2 weeks ago, before our prayer and fasting, I taught a message on prayer, which even for myself was revelation. I nearly want to say it's maybe one of the best sermons, if you can grade them, that I have done on prayer. If you have not heard it yet, go and have a listen. But I'm going to quote a couple of things. And the one thing that we mentioned 2 weeks ago was that targeted prayer is the means by which God moves. Targeted prayer is the means by which God moves. We also learned that prayer is not optional. It is the means through which heaven invades earth. It is the means. Very interesting that we're in this time of prayer, and all of a sudden on my Facebook feed is this article from King George VI on the 26th of May, where it refers to him calling a national day of prayer. This is in 1940. I'm going to read it to you. The entire British army, the entire British army was trapped in Dunkirk. And so George VI called for a national day of prayer to be held on the 26th of May, 1940. In a national broadcast, he urged the people of Britain to turn back to God in a spirit of repentance and plead for divine help. Look at this picture. Millions of people across the British Isles flocked into churches praying for deliverance. And this photograph shows the extraordinary scene outside Westminster Abbey that can seat 2,200 to 2,300 people as people queued for prayer. Two events immediately followed. This is what happened because the people were praying. Firstly, a storm arose over Dunkirk region, grounding the Luftwaffe, which is the German Air Force, now the name for German Air Force, which had been killing thousands on the beaches. And then secondly, a great calm descended on the channel, the like of which hadn't been seen for a generation. It was only because of this channel calm coming at this precise moment and the lasting length of the evacuation that tiny boats were able to sail across and rescue 335,000 soldiers. Incredible. Hitler was furious, as you can imagine. Because of the sudden channel calm, people referred to what had happened as the miracle of Dunkirk. Yes. King George goes on, the sixth goes on and calls another six national days of prayer during the war up until 1942. The point is this: when we pray, heaven moves and invades the earth. Heaven moves and invades the earth. You see, prayer is not convincing a reluctant God. Prayer is partnering with a willing Father. Your kingdom come is what Jesus taught us to pray. Your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So today, as we start, as we commence this series on everyone on mission, I want to focus on this: when we pray. When we pray. I want to take everything that we learned 3 weeks ago and I want to apply it to the mission of God when we pray. Because church, we need to be reminded prayer has never meant to be reduced to a me, mine, or now. Never. Never. Heaven cries different. Heaven cries Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the nations of the world. You see, the prayer's purpose was always to carry the heart of heaven through the believer. Every person who is a believer here, Prayer is that the heart of heaven through the believer is carried into cities, into regions, into nations, into communities, and into the world. And when you read Scripture, you see this golden thread throughout Scripture regarding prayer, regarding missions. And I was pouring through them because there's a lot of Scriptures going, okay, Father, what do we want to discuss today? And God grabbed my attention. He arrested me when I go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 9. So let's turn there, Revelation 7. And I'm going to read from verse 9. And it says this, only on the board is going to be verse 9, but I want to read the whole bit so that there's context. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne. And the Lamb, all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Back to verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude. The ESV says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne. Can I suggest this morning that this scripture right there reveals the heart of God, and it also reveals the mission that needs to be done by the church. It clarifies the mission. This is not diversity for diversity's sake. This reveals to you and me that heaven is multilingual. This reveals to you and me that heaven is multi-ethnic. It's actually multinational. This picture is the reward for Jesus, for his suffering. So the revelation right up from the front, that this is not just an amazing, beautiful picture of heaven. No. This Revelation 7, 9 actually reveals the prayer agenda for the church. This is the prayer agenda for the church. What am I proposing? Heaven. What does heaven contain? Heaven contains every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Doing what? Worshiping Jesus. The church's assignment is to do what? To pray until earth reflects heaven's reality. Your work, my work as a believer is to pray that what we see here reflects what is already there. It's already there. Why pray, you ask? Because of this one point, prayer empowers God's mission. Prayer empowers God's mission, not just money. You know, it's easy to throw money at missions. And we are going to take up a missions offering in 2 weekends' time. We are going to do that because we need, we got these people that we need to support, partners that we need to support, a little bit more about that later. It's not just money. It's not just talent. It's not just programs. It's prayer. Because when we pray, the mission of God advances. Let me put it another way. When we pray, his kingdom advances. 2 weeks ago, we also learned kingdom prayer is not weak. Kingdom prayer is not weak. It's not passive. Kingdom prayer is not uncertain. Kingdom prayer is targeted. Gave you two words. Targeted. Kingdom, come. Kingdom, that's targeted. Not wishy-washy. Kingdom, come. It's focused. It's intentional. It's authoritative. And so is the same for mission prayer. Kingdom prayer and mission prayer. So is the same for mission prayer. When we pray mission prayers, we can target a people group on an island somewhere in Whoop Whoop, and we can believe heaven to invade that place. Prayer matters. Your prayers are powerful. We can believe that it's going to happen. But it has to be targeted prayers. Why? Because when we pray, heaven moves. When you pray, heaven moves. And I'll clarify that a little bit later. When we pray, we participate in God's mission. When we pray. Everybody can pray. I mean, everybody should pray. Therefore, everybody can participate in God's mission through prayer. One of the greatest lies in the church, one of the greatest lies that the enemy has brought about in the church is this idea that mission belongs to a special group of Christians. It's a lie. Missionary belongs to those who are brave enough to go to the Amazon and be eaten by jaguars and crocodiles and spiders and maybe even humans. We bless them, give them $100, send them off. That's not missions. That's not the picture or the model that Jesus gave us. Do you realize that on this planet at this point in time, so Google tells me, there's 2.67 billion Christians. 2.67 billion Christians. You know how many foreign missionaries there are? Foreign missionaries referring those who serve the church in a country foreign to their own. You know how many of them there are? 435,000. Hold on. Perspective. 2.67 billion Christians, only 435,000 missionaries, foreign missionaries. That, folks, is 0.016292%. In other words, one missionary for every 6,138 Christians. Something wrong with that picture. We need to get our perspective right, because this does not reflect the heaven's model. It doesn't reflect what Jesus said, because Jesus never called a few into mission. He never called a few. Matthew 28 says to us, He called his church, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This command wasn't not only given to missionaries. Well, if you refer to yourself as a missionary, you go and make disciples in the little nations that I'm going to send you to. That's not written in scriptures. He said, go therefore, speak into the disciples and say, make disciples of all nations. It was given to believers. Full stop. Full stop. Yes, some are called to go to the mission field physically. Some are called. But you know what? That does not take the responsibility off of us who remain behind in our comfort of our own home and our own country. We have a responsibility which includes prayer. Jesus is addressing his believers in Matthew 6, verses 5 to 6. And he says this, when you pray, it's not when Shruti prays, or Paulina prays, or Joel prays, or Pastor Russ prays. It's when you pray. You're a believer, he's talking to you. When you pray, prayer is assumed to be part of discipleship. Every single believer has a kingdom assignment. And one of the primary ways we fulfill it is through missional prayer. Missional prayer. Folks, missions before missions is about going, it's first about praying. We think it's all about just going, going, going. No. Before missions is about going, it's first about praying. And you know what? We got to stop overcomplicating it. We just have to own our responsibility in it. We have to own our responsibility in it. I This is hot off the press. I don't even think all the team know this yet, but we have just finalized our missions team. And I'm very blessed to let you know, we have 16 beautiful people that are going from Numa East into Kenya at the end of October. 16. So good. We had 22 applications. We could not take 22. Just logistically was a nightmare. 16 from this house. I want to declare that this house will never be the same again. I want to declare again that even us that are going on there, we will come back. We're not going there to go and tell them what to do. We're going there so God can infuse us. God can train us. God can teach us so that we can come back and say, hey, guys, family, let's pray harder. Let's pray longer. Let's pray louder. I really believe in this. But I say this. Before missions is about going, it's first about praying. Guess what? Before we go, we're going to be gathering 16 of us and praying. We're going to be seeking His face. We are going to be calling the fire of God in those places. I'm believing that we'll even see the dead raised back to life. Guess what? Before we go, you're going to be praying for us. Because that's what mission is all about. Mission is all about that. You see, you may never go and preach in another nation, but your prayers will enter nations you never physically touch. You may never stand in Kenya yourself, but when we pray, our prayers move heaven to invade those spaces and those places. You may never stand in a nation, but your prayers can reach it. You know why? Because prayer has no borders. Prayer has no borders. Somebody needs to catch this today. Prayer reaches places your passport cannot. We are called to pray. We are called to pray beyond ourselves. Jesus teaches us, pray beyond yourselves. Kingdom prayers carry kingdom burdens. So here's a question. What would it look like if all our prayers were answered? What would it look like if all your prayers were answered? Let's make it a little bit more personal. What would it look like? You see, I've got a storyboard on the back. But let me walk you through it. There was this young man who desperately wanted to know whether God was hearing his prayers. So he sought this wise old man and he asked this wise old man, how would you know if every prayer I've ever prayed was answered? And the wise man smiled and the wise man said, close your eyes, son. He closes his eyes and he says to this young man, he says, now imagine that every prayer you've ever prayed has been answered. Every request, every desire, every cry to God. The young man's face lit up with excitement. He says, now open your eyes. And as this young man opens his eyes and he looks around, he is so pleased. His own life is better. His problems have been solved. His finances are stronger. His family are doing well. The things that he had worried about are all sorted. They're all in alignment. But after a while, this smile fades away and he turns to this wise man troubled and he says, it all seems good, but why is this something that feels wrong? And the wise man uses the opportunity and he says, because all your prayers were answered and yet the only life that changed was yours. Then he said, the scope of your prayers reveals the size of your heart. If all your prayers been answered only changes your world, perhaps you've been praying too small. But when your prayers are filled with God's kingdom, other lives begin to change too. Suddenly, the young man understood. The problem wasn't that God hadn't answered his prayers. The problem was that he hadn't been praying big enough prayers. Sobering thought, right? Let me ask you again. What would it look like if all our prayers were answered? You see, church, I honestly believe God is calling us, He's calling us, His church, Numa East, to expand our prayer life beyond survival prayers. The church is weak, the capital, not you. The church, capital T, is weak because we've been praying survival prayers. It's time to pray kingdom prayers. It's time to pray targeted prayers. It's time to pray missional prayers. It's time. And the time is now. What is a mission? What does a targeted mission prayer look like? Like this. I'm going to use my home country, South Africa. God, move in the nation of South Africa. Move in the government. Expose corruption. Bring change of leadership. Shine your favor on Joe Bloggs, a son of yours that you smile upon. Help him rise up and lead with integrity and kingdom authority. Give him all the wisdom of heaven to lead this nation into your place once again. Target it. Let's use another targeted prayer. Let's use the Hazara people in Afghanistan. Father, let your fire and your presence fall on the Hazara people group in Afghanistan. Strengthen and equip the 1% Christians amongst them to pray and shine your light and bring heaven to earth. Father, we pray that you'll call the Hazara group to see Jesus and bring them into alignment with your will. And we thank you that they will join us and be part of Revelation 7:9 in Jesus' name. Targeted prayers. You see, send revival to Africa. It's a beautiful prayer, but very generic. When you pray targeted prayers, heaven moves. Heaven moves. Targeted, missional prayers. Wow. Do we realize the responsibility we carry? Do we realize the authority that we as His church carry? Do we realize that the Holy Spirit is God Almighty in us? And with that, we have all authority. We don't need more of God. We have to come to the realization of who He is in us, so that when we pray, we're not wishy-washy prayers, but we are targeting. We are targeting. Let's shift gears. Acts 1:8, we all know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Two things you have to realize as the church. You will receive power. Not if you behave yourself. Not if you jump through the hoops. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. Done. Deal. You will. You will. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying to his disciples, and Jesus is saying to you and I, your mission is to be my witness, beginning at home, and then within your community, and then within Melbourne, and then within Victoria, and then within Australia, and then within the nations of the world. That is your mission, starting right at home. You see, folks, here's the revelation. Acts 1:8 is the mission, but Revelation 7:9 is the outcome of the mission. We've been given the mission. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Revelation 9 is what? It's seeing the great multitude that no one could number from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language. We're standing before the throne. It's the outcome of Acts. When we pray, we align with the heart of God. When we align with the heart of God, heaven is moved. Guess what happens? Hell is plundered and heaven is populated. Revelation 7:9 is exactly that. Heaven's been populated. Where did it start? You've been a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I'm excited. I'm so excited to see what happens within this church family. So excited. But JJ, what if I don't get the results? I don't see the results. I don't know if keep on praying missional prayers. You may not see the immediate results. But we need to continue believing that when we pray, guess what? Heaven is in that situation. We have to believe it. This week, the 19th of May, actually, I get this random message on Messenger. And I read it. It starts off like this. Good afternoon, Pastor JJ. My name is Wendy William, and I'm from Vanuatu. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. What's the catch? Then the next message comes in. In 2014, I came to Australia for 2 weeks. The Australian family I was staying with took me to church one night. The church was celebrating Mother's Day that night, so in church, the pastor allowed time for prayer. I stepped forward, the only dark-skinned person in the entire building. The person, the pastor and his wife prayed for my healing. I guess this is you. Then she says, I still keep the program I got from the church that night. I'm sending you the picture. She sends me this. I'm going, okay, you've got my attention. That was our program back in the church. This is years ago. I reply back, yep, well, that's us. That's for sure. That's the program. Thanks for reaching out. She comes back. She goes, thank you for replying my message. Thank God that we finally connect again through Facebook. Who knows? Some good stuff comes from Facebook. I'm thrilled to let you know that God has answered our prayers. I love the words, our prayers. That night in 2014, when you prayed for healing, in brackets, problem with blood circulation, God revealed that I was barren. I remember you telling your wife to put her hand on my belly, and both of you prayed to God to heal and bless my womb. 7 years later, when I was 43 years old, God blessed me with a son, William. William is 5 years old. I thank God. Come on, let's get excited, church. So that is William in his school uniform. He is in kindergarten. Thank you, Pastor JJ and Paulina, for your prayers. May God continue to mightily use both of you to bless his people. God bless. Folks, I share this because I believe that was my kiss from heaven. Yeah. You see, prayer reaches places your passport cannot. And it has the potential to impact nations where you may never place your feet. I got no idea who that young William's going to be. He could be the next Reinhard Bonnke. Your prayers can impact somebody's life. That happens. And history is changed for all eternity. Mission is not human ambition. It is God's determined outcome. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Folks, here we are not working towards an uncertain ending. We are actually partnering with a revealed outcome. Revelation 7:9 is a revealed outcome. You and I are partnering with heaven to see that come into fulfillment. We need to realize when we pray kingdom prayers, change is inevitable. Although we may not see the results in the physical, I cannot even remember Wendy. I cannot even remember that moment. But God heard in that moment. God spoke to her womb in that moment. God restored her womb and she gave birth to William. Your prayers matter. Your prayers matter. Have I seen all my prayers answered? No. I didn't even know. But I have to continue to believe when I pray, heaven moves. It's not I'm wondering if heaven moves. When I pray, I've got to believe heaven moves. You see, Daniel 10, 12 to 13, we are told that an angel tells Daniel that his prayer was heard immediately. But the answer was delayed for 21 days because the prince of the Persian kingdom, in other words, a demonic entity, opposed the messenger until Michael, the archangel, came to assist. This right here demonstrates that God answers immediately, but the manifestations of the answers can be delayed because of spiritual warfare, because of resistance from the enemy. When you pray, heaven moves. But immediately there is resistance from the enemy's camp. But what is our role? We've got to remember this. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces that oppose the purposes of God. There's a battle happening in the spiritual realm, the spiritual forces. There's this battle happening like what we just read in Daniel. But the answer is on his way. What do we need to do in that moment? Well, Acts 12 points it out. You see, King Herod arrested Peter and is planned to execute him after Passover. Peter's bound by chains. He's chucked into the stinky, rotting, rat-infested prison. What is the church doing? What are the disciples doing? The disciples are to the side. They're in their homes. They're hiding away. And what are they doing? They are storming heaven in prayer. They are calling heaven. And as they pray, guess what? There is heaven starts moving. And while they prayed, the outcome was that God broke the chains, opened the doors, and Peter walked out completely free. Come on, let's get excited. That is our responsibility, to continue praying. Oh, God, he's not hearing my prayers. Sorry, Nick. Oh, I don't know if he's with me anymore. No, he's heard your prayers. The answer is on its way. Heaven moved because you're a child of God. You pray, he moves. And then, James 5, 16. I love this. It's not up there. Take a picture, go and read it yourself. It says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I love the New King James Version. So much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. What does fervent mean? Oh, Jesus. Please help. It's not that. You're right. Fervent means active. It means energetic. It means passionate. It means persistent. Not casual, Jesus, if you really want to make a mark. No! The fervent prayer of a righteous man. What is righteous? Righteous refers to a person living in right alignment and obedience to God, which removes all spiritual blocks to pray. The righteous, the prayer of the righteous man. What does it do? It avails much. Wait for it. Here it comes. What does avail much mean? It has great power to produce dynamic, history-changing results. Your prayer has great power to produce dynamic, history-changing results. Your prayer. When we pray, wherever, whenever, heaven moves. Doesn't matter where it is. In your car, walking to work, uni, office, gym, you name it. Lunch break, corporately, privately. When you pray, heaven moves. We need to be expectant of the suddenly. We need to be expectant of this suddenly, because you know what? Acts 2 says, and suddenly, Wendy in Vanuatu, her life was changed suddenly, and a child is born. The suddenly. You see, prayer preceded power, but power preceded the suddenly, and the result was missional. 3,000 people were added. Let me repeat that. Prayer preceded the power. Power preceded the suddenly, but suddenly resulted in the missional expansion, and 3,000 were added. Folks, when we pray, heaven moves. Our assignment is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. Heaven's intention is every tribe, every tongue, every nation before the throne. And you know what? One day, There's going to be people standing before the throne. There's going to be people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue standing before the throne because you prayed. Because you prayed missional prayers. Your life is to echo into eternity. Doesn't matter if you've been to church for 50 years, 90 years, or this is the first time you've walked into church. Your prayer life will echo into eternity. Yuma East, here's my request as your leader and pastor. With my wife, let's start praying beyond ourselves. Let's start praying beyond ourselves. This week, Mission Week, my challenge to you all is let's pray targeted prayers, not vague prayers. I gave you examples of what a targeted prayer is. Targeted prayer means detail. Detail. God is a God of detail. If you don't believe me, look at the neighbor next to you. Look at their eyelashes. Some are false. Don't look at the false ones, but just look at the normal ones. If you don't believe me, just look at your fingerprints. Do this. Look at your thumbprint. He's a God of detail. There's not another human being on this planet that has that same thumbprint. And there's how many billion of us? Pray targeted prayers.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.